Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Tea Time, the podcast. And today I am dishing the tea. And the tea is vulnerable type of tea. And just kind of share a little bit of the behind the scenes of a client interaction that didn't go so well. Right? So I want to bring back, I probably said this already before in the past, but I want to stop holding myself back from just having these impromptu episodes where I just jump on and share, because that's what made the podcast become a podcast in the first place. And when I say become a podcast, I mean that's what made me start it. I just wanted to have that freedom to be creative. And lately, I have not been feeling creative, and that is because, you know, as you grow in business, there's just so many processes and systems that, granted, you need to have and that come to streamline things, to be more organized and strategic, the word strategic, right? Strategy. You know, like I have all my episodes kind of planned out for the year and the important topics. And, you know, of course, you hear me talk about this on Instagram, where I talk about having that evergreen content. And, you know, all of the rules still apply regardless of what platform that you are on. You need to have evergreen content on your blog, on your Instagram feed. If you do YouTube, on YouTube, like if you're in business, you have to have your evergreen content pieces that when someone discovers you on the internet, they should basically already be going down this funnel of playing with the idea of working with you, because that evergreen content is planting that seed through value-driven content, value-driven strategic, you know, regardless of what you're offering at any point in time, it should apply essentially. So I hope that makes sense in how I define what evergreen content is, because I mean, I love evergreen content, especially since I have not had the bandwidth, or we all reach that point where we're either burnt out or we just don't have the bandwidth because your energy is required in other places more of priority at that point in time. And it doesn't have to be anything to do with burnout. Right, I am doing everything in my power not to experience any burnout this year. And as soon as I notice that shift in my energy, I say, hold up, nope. So anyway, evergreen content is there to work for you when you can't always be showing up, right? That's the smart thing to do, right? So I have my content planned out for the year. I know the topics and the authority positioning types of pieces that I need to have. And but not because I have that does not mean you cannot, you know, create other pieces of content as your creativity flows, right? Especially if you're a creative type of person. So a lot of, like, let's take Instagram for example. Trust me, there's a point that's coming. Let's take Instagram for example, or maybe not Instagram, but maybe Facebook. I remember in the earlier days, like 2016 or so, when content and the importance of creating content when you have a business, like when content marketing blew up, a lot of business owners had this anxiety around scheduling their content so they could go and run their business. Like you spend a couple hours, you schedule out your content, and when you wake up in the morning, you go to your work, your business, whether that's in person or remotely online, at home, whatever, and you clock in your hours and actually run your business. Because another thing is that people feel like, well, I'm posting content all day and I'm engaging and I'm this, but that's not actually running your business, right? That's a part of running your business. So anyway, people used to get so much anxiety around scheduling content, and they used to feel like, oh my gosh, well, if I feel like I want to post something that happened in my day, or I want to do this, or something comes up, does that mean I can't post? No, scheduled content just means that it's there so that you don't have to worry about it if you don't. But if you do have something that you want to say and you want to go out on a live or you want to record a video from your car and you post that impromptu, that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with it, so that your schedule content just kind of adds to the how to call it, that on-the-go content creation, right? So you might have met with a client and you feel to hop on and talk about, you know, some mindset shifts that they had or a myth that you busted because they had a particular question and you wanted to share that with the audience. Like, that's still great content to post in real time. Like, nothing is wrong with that. And I feel like I forgot that for a moment, where it's like, okay, everything is super like planned out for the year in an effort to not have burnout with the podcast again. And I got to this place of like overthinking. So that's what this episode is. An impromptu, let's get to the tea type of thing. So this podcast episode is most likely going to be called When Things Go Wrong. So what went wrong, you may ask? Well, a client that I absolutely love and adored was not happy with my service, right? Now, I don't know if she's not happy with me per se, and it has tarnished, you know, me in any severe way moving forward, but it's pretty sucky nonetheless. And I want to be vulnerable and share this experience because, well, one, I feel like it could be therapeutic for me, but two, I know this is the side of entrepreneurship that we don't talk about. Everyone comes on and they share their testimonials and they share all the pretty results, but we, and of course, you know, entrepreneurship is also like overly glamorized. It's overly glamorized, and you know, these are the messy parts of the journey that people don't talk about. And I'm just here to share my experience and let you know that entrepreneurship is actually very messy and ugly, and there will be times when it's hard, and it's not hard from the aspect that you typically hear, like, oh, I'm not making any money, oh, I'm not making hit my goals, oh, I feel like I'm stuck in the same place. No, sometimes it sucks because your business is moving, but you keep experiencing not so pleasant things, or it's extremely stressful. Like, you feel like you should be thankful, but the business is making you feel miserable. Like, these are the things we don't talk about. And we feel like we're just supposed to show up on Instagram stories and smile all the time, or we come on LinkedIn and sound super inspirational. And it's like, all right, cool. Well, here's the messy part of it. So I had a client from 2019, and the entire working relationship has been a dream, right? I would say it's a dream. And really, I say that because when I come across clients who are like easy to work with, they really respect what you do, they communicate really well. They, even if, you know, there's a little slight misunderstanding, or even if there's a question that it's something they don't understand, they won't fly off the cuff, but they just have this ease, right? And I'm sure you, if you're listening to this, well, obviously you're listening to this, but somebody out there listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's those clients where it's just so effortless, and you just really enjoy what you do even more. So like, you already enjoy your job, you already enjoy what you do, you enjoy your business. But when you get to do that for people who are also enjoyable to work with, it's like, yeah, I could do this all the time, and I wish everybody could be like this, but everybody would be like that on some level or frequency, just some more than others, right? And great working relationship definitely understands boundaries. Some things you just don't even have to explain to them, like little etiquette things, like you don't call someone or message them after a certain hour, like super respectful and all of that. So, and a very supportive client at that in my endeavors and other things, right? So had this client in 2019, worked with them on their website, their branding, helped them launch. Things kind of had to pause for a while. We had to pick things back up again and so forth and so forth. But I completely understood the circumstances and whatnot. And they were always super communicative, and they never like felt like they were imposing, even though their time for the project was more or less up like a year and change, right? So when it was time for them to launch, you know, they launched, we worked that out and everything. And then I was there with them for that. And then moving forward, they needed a particular service which required me to hire a person in my team. Now, I hire people as I need to in a kind of subcontractor type of way, right? Because it's not something that you need all the time, of course. So it's a service that I offer, and it was supposed to be a really simple job, right? Like absolutely nothing could go wrong. And like, you're not even really dealing with people, you're dealing with product, right? And you know, it was just supposed to be an easy thing. Like, okay, here, these are the items, you're gonna, you know, do what you have to do with them. Here's the creative direction. Everything was outlined. The client was super specific, but it just so happened that things went wrong. Like a simple project just did not work out. And this was in the thick of tightening of restrictions. And as much as people don't like to put an emphasis on mental health, and we like to disregard it, like everything flows from your head, everything flows from your mental. So if you, let's say for example, many people don't get a degree, for example, right? They don't go down that path because they didn't have enough self-confidence maybe growing up to go and get a degree. But yet somebody else felt like, oh yeah, I could go and get a degree, I could go get a master's, and I could go and get my doctorate, and they just don't stop because in their mind, they conceived it already that they can achieve it. Now, it sounds corny, but it's true. You can achieve whatever the mind can conceive. What is your mind? It's your mental. So it's beyond me why we underestimate mental health so much, because if your mental is not healthy, then you can't do shit. It's crippling, right? So take into consideration that you can't do shit if your mental isn't in order. However, at the same time, if you're contracted to do a job and you're being paid and you've been paid, you know, to just get the job going, like at the end of the day, you still have a job to deliver. So things went wrong due to everything that was going on in the world, and it just wasn't a smooth process. There were hiccups with sourcing certain things to have like the best outcome possible. Now, this client is super understanding, and I know that she would understand once you communicate. Like, she's like totally understanding. And I'm kind of like the same person, which is a struggle because sometimes I'm a bit too understanding, like both in personal and business life, right? So it was really frustrating to me when at the 99th hour, I got back, I got word that this is not going to be worked on. I'm like, cool, no problem. I didn't stress, I didn't worry, because as a creative, I know we could whip things up together when we have that creative boost, right? So I didn't stress because, again, I'm not a micromanager. You know, I don't believe in that. I believe in giving people space to do what they have to do. And that creates the environment to allow people to thrive. This was that one unique time where that philosophy bit me in the ass. All right. Now, I'm going to make a disclaimer. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not upset. I just was like really disappointed. And this episode is not shade. This is just me sharing, right? So, and these are the lessons. So I'm getting into the first lesson. The first thing that went wrong here is that shit happens, right? Obviously, shit happens. That's out of our control. And I have done a lot of work on myself, because past me, I would have beat myself up And I would have beat myself up to the point of it would be debilitating. But I've learned that there's only so much that I can do and there's only so much I can control. Right. So, but now it's like, okay, I try to reflect on things more objectively. Like, I mean, I always would look at things objectively, but I would also beat myself up to the point where it's not healthy. So now I've learned to remove that and I just reflect like, wait, what could I have done differently to make this better? This was one of those things that you could not have expected to happen. You are accustomed receiving a certain level of work and it was not delivered. Needless to say, it needed to be redone. And that was really sticky because I had to actually send the client the work before the subcontractor realized, like, this needs to be done. Like, can't you, like, see this? But that's because they wasn't in the headspace to really see what was going on. Like, the fog, you could clearly realize, like, there was a fog. And so the first thing, what was the issue, is that things went wrong, yes, but that's not the first lesson. The first lesson is communication. Communication didn't happen. Had I known that something was wrong, I could have paid more attention and be, I guess, not micromanage, but that was clearly not the time to allow people to have space to thrive, right? So I was disappointed. I think if I was upset about anything, I was like, why didn't they communicate? And again, I couldn't have done anything differently because I checked in multiple times and say, if you have any questions, let me know. If you have any questions, let me know. If you have any questions, let me know. I swear I was saying that all of the time. It's like, no, everything seems super straightforward. Only to hear a week later when we're already late that, well, this was confusing and that was confusing. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Right? Point number two, communication. So on the aspect, well, actually, no, not communication. Before I move on to the next point, is communication is important when dealing with people. Because when you have understanding people or even not understanding people, communication does wonders. When people know what's up, they can adapt accordingly. So that's one practice that I've always tried to practice as much as possible. And I think I do a pretty decent job of always keeping communication open and flowing because even if there are delays, you know, in the past, as a graphic designer, a lot of the times people are frustrated with creatives is because they don't open their mouth and actually treat this like a job and keep you in the loop. You always find business owners complain because they didn't hear updates. They always have to reach out first. And rule of thumb, if you are a creative or any type of service provider, especially if you are creative, because apparently this is a creative issue, please, if you're running late, reach out before they reach out to you. Like, know that if the client hasn't followed up for updates, that's a good thing. Yes, they're not micromanaging you, but also reach out to them because it builds a certain level of ease, credibility, confidence in you. Like, that really just helps your overall personal brand in the long run because it's a certain level of rapport and comfort that you're building when you do that. This is not even us about avoiding problems. This is about just building your personal brand. Like, communicate. I cannot say that enough. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Point number two, try as best as possible to rectify the situation. So after we presented these not so great things, right? I'm not going to say the words because I don't want to give this away, right? I'm not going to say what the deliverables are, but you could use your imagination. But after we presented these things, it was clear like this cannot be used. And I wasn't mad at all. All of the feedback from said client was spot on. But I needed to have that feedback now to show this person that this work is unacceptable. right? Without me actually having to say it, you know, like something about getting that feedback from the client wakes somebody up. So, all right, you get your thing done over and to the standard that we're used to. Point number three, right? So point number two was to try as best as possible to rectify the situation. Point number three, of course, people can still not be happy. And if there is nothing more, oh, shucks, I'm reading my notes. So point number three is, of course, people can still not be happy. And that there comes a point where there's nothing much more that you can do to rectify the situation. Sometimes there really is nothing more that you can do. This particular project was a mess. We've rectified it as best as we can. And sometimes what happens is because a problem arose in the first place, the rectified solution does not take away the scar of the hiccup. Like, okay, now I have something satisfactory, I can use this, but you have now lost that feeling of like, of excitement. You know, when you are hired for something and you're expecting a particular result and it's not just less than what they were expecting, it was unusable. Like, there's a huge level of heartache there that no matter how great the rectified solution is, it's kind of like, okay, great. Finally, I got what I paid for. Thanks. Right? So that whole opportunity of excitement is completely gone out of the door. And as much as you want to try to bring back that element of like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Or, oh my gosh, yes, the first set wasn't great, but this set, it definitely is good and I feel happy about it. Chances are you're not going to get that, you know. But if you do, awesome. In my case, I didn't. And as creatives, again, if you listen to the episode with Niola Zama, Mental Health Tips for Entrepreneurs, I can't remember what number episode it is, but if you scroll, you'll see it, right? It's not an episode that far away. The fact is, like, yeah, that's what happened. So again, in the effort of customer service and or in the effort of brand building, now keeping in mind, you already have a great working relationship and it was just a fluke, and it will happen to the best of us. Like, I don't know, you could be the most amazing XYZ in your field, but they will have those jobs, right? And if you ever had a situation, if you never had one of those situations, then you are a unicorn and I want to meet you. Okay, and I want to meet you, and I want to know how you do it. But what do you do then when you know that it's just very ho hum? All right, thanks. But you want to keep that level and that standard from, you know, this is your brand at the end of the day, whether it's a business brand, a personal brand. When I say this is your brand, this is your reputation and really is important. And that's the sad, messed up thing about business, because sometimes no matter what you do, people can still go say bad things about you. However, if you can avoid it, you can avoid it. But there just comes a point where you have to know, like, hey, there's only so much I can control, and there's somebody who's going to not like this. I mean, let's take Apple, for example. People still bad talk Apple and they have quality products. You know, that it's just maybe you all weren't a good fit. You're not your cup of tea. And people are just like, they like Android and vice versa. So control the things that you can control and let go of the things that you can't, right? And that's really hard. And this will bring me to my bonus point. But before we get to the bonus point, point number four is offer something to make up for it. But here's where it gets sucky, right? Again, I'm being completely transparent. So now I offer something that I can control, because the work that was provided was something that I just, there was nothing that could have been further done. I tried to rectify it as best as possible. So now that, okay, this is what it is, you know, they got their deliverables and they can move on with launching, right? Now, in again, brand building tip here, offer something to smooth things over. It could be a bonus, a service, it could be a gift certificate to something. Offer some sort of gift to, the words are missing me, but what I'm trying to say is it's a gift. Something to just say I'm sorry. Than just saying, oh, I'm sorry for the inconvenience. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, don't you all get those emails all the time from service providers where they're like, oh, we apologize for the inconvenience. And you're just like, ugh. And you roll your eyes. Like, when your internet is down for 24 hours and they're telling you, oh, so sorry for the inconvenience. Yeah, but I still have to pay the bill at the end of the month. Are you going to give me some kind of rebate? Are you going to give me something extra next month? Am I going to get a bonus? Am I going to get some data extra? Like, what? So after a while, you become numb to these things and it just sounds like hot air, you know? So whenever you can, because not all the time, especially as small business owners, we can afford to do these things. But if there's something that you can offer, I'll say offer it, because the gesture is still better than doing nothing. And it's up to them to accept or not. Now, what happens when they don't accept? Well, you have to work on that within yourself and move on from those sucky emotions and let it go. And for some of us, that's easier said than done. Hence why now, for me, a huge important aspect of my business is going to therapy. This is the first time I'm announcing this on the podcast, but I always used to say this, like, almost 8 years ago, I would be so frustrated and feel so debilitated by doing work for clients, because it's like being a graphic designer and doing creative work as a service is not for the faint of heart. And this is not to complain. This is to shed light on the fact that creatives really have a hard time because our work is so much a part of us. Right. Again, if you listen to the episode with Nuala, you'll understand better that it's not just like doing somebody's taxes, bum, 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 bam, here you go. It's not something that's quite logistical. It is logistical. It is a strategic aspect to doing creative work, but it's also a huge form of your self-expression. Right. And I don't want to say self-expression because that's not the best term, because when you're doing work for clients, it's not your self-expression. You have a brief to follow, whether it's a brief created by the client or a brief created by yourself. Like, it still follows something and it's still something that you're creating. And there's something about creating that when it's something that you just offer as your livelihood, it makes it even more stressful. Like, there's so many stats that I didn't have the time to research today, but there are stats about mental health as it relates to entrepreneurs and how, as in comparison to our 9-to-5 peers, like, mental health really weighs on us more, I think, is what the stat is. But you could research that yourself, okay? But the point is, there is that. I will find the link and possibly add it in the show notes as an additional resource. But I'm going to have to go and come back because I'm recording on my web browser and I'm running out of time. So if this cuts off, I'm going to come back with another part to wrap this. Actually, I'm just going to cut it here and start again. Okay, and I'm back. So as I was saying, let me re-bring myself back. So yeah, creativity is such a huge part of things for you. And even back then, when I was very early on in my career, I was like, we creatives definitely need to charge more. I've always had this mindset. Creatives need to charge more because just like how we have to account in pricing things like health insurance, like part of our health insurance needs to be mental health as well, which is, you know, going to therapy at least once a month or at least once every quarter, because it really does weigh on you after some time. It really can feel very debilitating trading your creativity for money. It's really not for the faint of heart. And even your most favorite designer out there, they may seem okay, but really and truly many people are just suffering in silence, to be quite honest. So my bonus tip is, if whether you're a creative entrepreneur or not, and you're just a person that cares deeply, and it really affects you when a client isn't happy with your service, my bonus tip is, after you've done all of those four things, those four practical, logical things, the fifth thing, which is the bonus item, would be the not so tactical step, and that is to seek therapy. Talk to someone. You know, a lot of us will talk with our business besties, and sometimes, honestly, there comes a point where talking to family, friends, your business besties, just not enough. And I honestly really feel like having a therapist on retainer is super, super important, and it is a form of self-care. And we also need to normalize the term self-care from to simply just mean taking care of yourself first. Because the term self-care has this luxury connotation to it. I have no issue with luxury, but what happens when we just look at things like luxury is that when it falls under luxury, it also has a connotation that, oh, well, this isn't important. This is for people who have money, or this is for people, this is not like luxury items or have this priority. Have this connotation that it's not a priority. And if it has that connotation, we're going to constantly push self-care to the back burner, right? When you are full, you can pour into the lives of others, your children, your spouse, your parents, your clients, your friends. You know, we have to be all of these things to our loved ones, right? To our relationships, but the relationship to self is just as important to be the best spouse and to be the best parent. Well, not the best, but you get the drift. All right. So I hope that this episode was nourishing, right? I hope this was like a nourishing version of tea for you, because yeah, I hope you got some benefit from it. And if you did and you made it this far, that means you got something from it. So please screenshot this podcast and share it somewhere and tag me. And if you're not into doing that type of thing, definitely leave a review of the podcast or DM me and let me know that this helped you, you know? All right. So until the next episode, who knows when the next impromptu episode might come, take care of yourselves.